T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
And good morning, everybody, as we get rolling on a Monday edition of Sports Daily. Glad to have you with us at 869-1240. That's the hotline. You can join the show at your convenience. Shane Dennis on one side of the aisle, yours truly on the other. We start with a little college hoops. Shane, I'm trying to remember the last time that KU, K-State, and Wichita State all lost on the same weekend, let alone started the conference seasons out collectively 1-5. But that's where we are right now. Kansas with Azubuike going down, out for the rest of the season as they were whipped in Ames. K-State 0-2 now after losing at Texas Tech. And the Shockers blow a nice lead and a lead down the stretch and can't handle the prosperity in a game against Temple. What in the world's going on here?
Well, it's more of the same, unfortunately, for Wichita State. Yep. In that they can just dazzle you for a half and then have trouble closing, have trouble finishing. A couple of their guards late in that game looked like the ball was the last thing they wanted in their hands.
Yep.
Couldn't get rid of it fast enough. It was quite a game. And if you really, really like basketball, you'd like Temple and the three big players that they had. That was, of course, beyond the shock and disappointment of losing a 15-point first-half lead and a 13-point halftime lead. Shiz Alston, Nate Pierre-Louis, and Quentin Rose are all really good for Temple. And they all, I thought at times, more times than not, put it this way, they made scoring look easy. Nobody for Wichita State, especially yesterday when they really had to have it, made scoring look that easy.
No.
You know,
no.
It was, they were, like, for example, okay, we'll kind of break it down here in a second. But the bottom line is that the game was tied with about 32 seconds left to go. So the Shockers could basically take it all the way down to the end, which they did. But the only thing that happened was Samaje Haynes-Jones pounded it out there near the timeline, waiting for a high ball screen to where he could get free or another player could, and that never happened. So as it turned out, he had to kind of frantically pass it over to the left wing to Dexter Dennis, who actually got an okay look at it, but I can't imagine that was, you know, the play that was drawn up originally. Everything else was blown up by Temple, and Haynes-Jones just stood out there pounding it, where on the other hand, you know, you're looking at guys like Nate Pierre-Louis and Shiz Alston who could get seemingly a good shot when they had to have it.
Yep.
And that's a big reason why the Shockers, you know, faded down the stretch. And Shiz Alston, man, he scored the game-tying basket with 34 seconds left. He gave them their first lead since the first half in overtime, and then stuck a dagger in the Shockers' hearts with less than a minute left in OT, hit a guarded three-pointer at the shot clock buzzer, and just that was it. Just deflated the whole building.
Wasn't afraid to make plays. And it sounds really simple, because there's a catch-22 that goes with this. How do you win games like this until you win a game like this? Can't be afraid to fail. Can't be afraid to try to do things to win a basketball game.
Well, they did it against Baylor.
Right.
I mean, they never gave
the
lead up against Baylor, so that's a little different. But they had plenty of adversity in that game, and they survived. I fully expected them to win, even though there were three or four times, 53-53, 55-55, you know, scores right in there where Temple made up the stagger and tied the game, but were never able to take the lead. And then Wichita State went on an 11-0 run after it was 63-all. And then you thought, all right, there it was. That's it. They did make the winning plays. All you have to do is make a few free throws and don't turn it over from here on out. And sure enough, Temple scored the next 11 to force overtime. K capped by a Shiz Alston jumper on the baseline with 34 seconds left. So,
21 turnovers isn't going to win you many games. It's a very tough statistic to overcome, and they're uncertain. They're just very uncertain. They don't have that that confidence to do things right in the stretch run. And you've already touched upon it. Temple did the things needed to win and had a player that was welcome to the challenge and that wanted the ball. Who wanted the ball for Wichita State down the stretch yesterday?
Oh,
right.
I mean, at times.
Yeah, I mean, we have to sit and think about it. There was Haynes no
Jones,
thinking about it.
Haynes Jones made a nice twisting layup when they were down four, had a chance at an and one, and then got the offensive rebound. Problem was, driving the baseline, trying to make a play, Eric Stevenson turned it over and then eventually fouled out. That's the other thing with Wichita State that you're going to have to get used to if you're not already, is there's going to be a couple guys with their arrow pointed up, and then there's going to be a couple guys with the arrow pointed down. And it's not always going to be the same guys either.
Because there's no consistency in that.
Yesterday, Dexter Dennis and Poor Bear Chandler were good. And yesterday, Stevenson and Jamarius Burton weren't really. And both of those guys, if they're not going to score, which they haven't been lately, and Jamarius Burton overall hasn't been, period, then they got to give you something else. But Stevenson had a hard time staying in front of Quentin Rose. He was in foul trouble the whole game. He eventually fouled out with 1 point and three shot attempts. And one assist. Jamarius Burton played 17 minutes, had one assist and two turnovers. And here's the other problem with that, which is going to be a problem down the road if it continues. Marcus McDuffie never came off the floor. He played all 45 minutes.
Yeah.
And Samaje Haynes-Jones played 43 of them. So, you know, you're going to, if Stevenson, for example, isn't going to score, then he's got to guard better without fouling. If Jamarius Burton's not going to score, he's got to distribute better and not turn the ball over. Ricky Torres, he played an okay floor game because he had eight rebounds, but three assists, three turnovers in 27 minutes. And he had a critical error down the stretch, too. So it's a, I mean, I don't know, we keep saying it's a work in progress, it's up and down, but that's it. That's true. That's exactly how
it's sometimes going. But sometimes it's not a work in progress. Sometimes it's a work in digress. So it's a one step forward, two steps back, two steps forward, one step back kind of proposition. That's a game they should have won yesterday. Period. That's a game they should have won. You can't be up double digits at home. In the midst of a what was the run? 11? It was 11 nothing run,
with
right?
3:32 left to go.
I mean, you've got to close the door.
Yep.
I mean, that plain and simple. That team is ready to lose.
Especially when they busted their asses just to get tied up when they were down 15
totally.
In the first half, and then you
exactly.
lick them for 11 in a row. That shit, you should be able to pound the nail in the coffin. Yes.
Yes.
Game should have been over.
Yes.
Should have taken all the air out of Temple. Because the roof was about to come off of Charles Koch Arena. The place was so loud when McDuffie hit that angle three to put him up 11. That was an elating feeling, even sitting on press row with a, you know, when you're not able to clap. It's like, man,
right.
this is awesome. They played their butts off. But they didn't quite do it for 40 minutes. Temple did. And Alston had 22 points. Nate Pierre-Louis had 21. Quentin Rose has 17.
Yeah, and those three are good.
They are good. And the Shockers
really good.
Got stops during that 11-0 run. But then in Temple's 11-0 run, they couldn't hang on to the ball. And, man, that was an effort and frustration, no question. They played overtime for the third time in five Marshall-era meetings. Temple's won them all. NWSU. This is a stat that's going to probably, you know, take a few dents this year. They lost for just the fifth time in six seasons at Charles Koch Arena. Some more news and notes before we wrap this up and head to KUK State. Call us and let us know what you thought. If you heard it, saw it, 869-1240. Marcus McDuffie, double figures for the 13th consecutive game. He became the first Shocker since Ziggy McKee against then Southwest Missouri State to play all 40 minutes in a regulation game.
Hmm.
And he's the first Shocker in 24 years to play all 45 minutes of an overtime game. L.D. Swanson did it back-to-back nights in the old Cessna Classic.
Yeah.
Wins over Gonzaga and the Citadel.
I remember those
1994.
Games.
Yep. He continues to climb the career chart in points past Garrett Stutz and Lanny Van Amen yesterday. Three more three-pointers to move into 21st place in the all-time three-point chart. And poor Bear Chandler had his second consecutive game with 12 points. Isaiah had scored 9 points all season heading into the week. So, oh, and by the way, I forgot to mention that Jaime Echenique limped out of that game with about 9 minutes left to go, rather, and did not get off the bench, literally, after that, even during timeouts. So his foot, the injury, I can only assume that flared up again. The pain is back and worse than ever. And Echenique and Dexter Dennis, before that, early second half, got into some foul trouble. They got their third fouls called on them in the midst of that Temple run. So there's a lot of things that go into having a lead evaporate like that. And unfortunately, Wichita State didn't do enough things right to hang on to it, besides having a rebounding advantage. But as Bruce mentioned, 21 turnovers to just 11 for Temple. That was too much to overcome. And Shiz Alston having ice water in his veins didn't hurt it either. So,
no. Good player, really good player, confident player, and he made plays down the stretch. But again,
another reason why it's so painful, too, is the Shockers got to go to Houston next Saturday.
Well, exactly.
And the schedule stretch they're in the midst of. If they could have gotten that one, all right, that's a good start, especially after you lost your first one on the road at Memphis. But couldn't hang on, and in dating back to the early 1970s, according to Brian Holmgren, because box score archives date back to then, that was the second largest halftime lead in a Shocker home loss.
Wow.
And it was kind of interesting that last February, Wichita State was down 14 at halftime. They beat Temple. That was the second largest Shocker comeback on record. And yesterday, the Owls flipped the script. Second largest halftime lead in a Shocker home loss, at least dating back to the early 1970s. So.
Well,
that one stung, but
a
little bit of a tip your cap to Temple and Fran Dunphy in his last trip to Wichita and his storied coaching career. 85-81 was the final in overtime, a game the Shockers led by 15 at one point and 11 with about 3.5 left to go.
Yeah, hard to figure.
So anyway, now, where does
– hard to figure other than the fact that they're just so young and they're going to do this stuff. So – but at some point, Greg's going to be done with they're young. At what point will that happen, do you suppose?
I'm sure behind closed doors it's already happened.
Yeah. Yeah. And at what point, is the fallback, well, you're freshman and this is all new. Does that start to lose a little strength because, here you are. You're better than halfway through the season. You're into conference. Well, you're into conference play now.
Well,
you're halfway.
For example, let's look at it like this. All right, we've sung the praises of Alston, Pierre Louis, and Rose. Right, they're really good players.
Right.
Right. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
They combined for 60 of the Temple 85 points. You think there's not going to be athletes like that for Houston? UCF,
sure.
USF, ECU beat Cincinnati the other day, for crying out loud. Cincinnati comes to Wichita before long. So you better either get used to it or figure out a way to stay in front of these guys and get stops, because it's not like the athletes are going to stop coming at you. They may not be.
Isn't that the truth?
They might not be all as talented as that trio was for Temple yesterday, but everybody, as we found out last year, everybody's got a guy.
Mm-hmm.
And the good team's got more than a guy. And so, whether it's inexperience or them being freshmen or both, I'm sure, and like I said, I'm sure by now, Greg, at least behind closed doors and out of the earshot of all of us, it's probably already happened.
Yep, probably is.
And probably a message similar to the one that I just rattled off. Look, you're going to be playing against guys every night. So, you know, don't want to just put everything on the coach, on the player's doorstep, but they are the ones that are having to play out the game plan, you know?
Yeah.
Look, we're going zone here, keep the ball out of the middle. Yep, we're going to man here, so stay in front of your guy, you know, and communicate, all that stuff. On all that stuff they work on in practice. But, man, when the bullets are flying for real, they're finding out that athletes like at Temple are tough guard, but that's just the way it is. So
yeah, and they play you for all 40 minutes, or in this case, 45.
45, yeah.
And there's and Wichita State is still a team kind of, I don't know, Shane, I don't know if this is fair or not. They're kind of a team right now finding ways to lose instead of figuring out ways to win.
At times. I mean, just
at
like just like everything else with them.
Sure.
It happens sometimes, and sometimes it doesn't. I mean, there have been games where they've made winning plays and hung on to win a close game, and then there have been games where they've just kind of slowly let it slip away. And not necessarily all their losses or when they've led. You know, that's just how it feels. It just feels that way that, Shockers have got this one in hand, and then because we're so inexperienced, we can't hang on to it. Well, it doesn't happen. Hadn't happened all the time, but it sure seems like it.
No, it hasn't.
And yesterday was painful because they should have won that game.
And in fairness, you said something that I thought was right on target. They have moments of fluidity that you sit there and imagine the possibilities. I mean, they have moments where they play and they're like, okay, this is what I signed up for. You know, they're moving, they're taking the ball off the glass, they're getting up and down the floor, they're quickly into transition, they hit shots, their defense leads to offense. They can do some things that make you say, wow. But boy, I'll tell you, you as a Shocker fan, you're on constant guard for kind of the other shoe to drop a little bit, aren't you?
Well, to me, it has to do with ball handling issues and protecting the ball.
Yeah.
Too many guys just get too reckless with it, lose track of where their guy is if they beat him initially, bounce passes laterally that if you got any length or athleticism at all, it's not going to get to the intended target.
Right.
And just understanding time, score, and situation.
Mm-hmm.
Up 11, 3:32 left. Ball security is number one. Making your free throws is number two because eventually they're going to start coming out to foul you. But if you don't take care of job number one in ball security, then
you never get to two.
No, and you're making their job a lot easier. And they went boom, boom, three-pointer, two-pointer, and just like that, it was down to six. And so it's like, okay, so much for that. Now
we're grinding.
Now we got to continue to run our offense. Now we got to go back to, all right, let's get a basket here. Whereas most of the time, if you're up 11 with 3.5 left, the other team is the one grinding and scrapping. And so long as you handle their pressure and don't throw it to them, you're going to win. But another tough lesson. You'd rather have those lessons in the film room when you win, but you got to tip your cap to Temple too. Real quick, get your thoughts on KU and K-State. Speaking of injuries, Udoka Azubuike is going to have surgery on a torn hand ligament and is out for the year.
That's a shame.
Talk about a gut punch. That came out of the middle of nowhere. Now, they have played a handful of games without him this year with that high ankle sprain. Is there any way possible this is a good thing for Kansas?
No. No, I think it's a damaging thing for Kansas. Yes, you can point to the fact that they've had some success without him in the lineup. And that should help them, I would imagine.
Mm-hmm.
At least they've had to do this before. But the fact that he's the type of talent that makes them different with his size, mobility, his ability to defend at the rim, and just the presence that he provides both defensively and offensively close to the basket makes their situation much more challenging. Iowa State just opened up a can on him.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess the ease with which they won that game might have been a surprise to some. Hilton's a very difficult place to play. That's a good team anyway. And I think Kansas' situation is, look, are they talented enough to win games without him? Well, yeah, they've already proven that. Mm-hmm. And they'll win their share of games. But how they evolve now with the thought of him not being there, which he won't be now for the rest of the season, is going to be really interesting.
And they've been kind of playing with fire a little bit with the way they played up until now.
Yep.
So a rout wasn't out of the realm of possibility. It's just hard to fathom that they do get blown out. But you play a team like Iowa State at Hilton, and you're down a guy. Not totally mind blowing. So now they're going to have to go small. Lawson's going back to the post, Diedrich Lawson, that is. And Garrett, Vic, Grimes, and Dotson, you would imagine, would be a four-guard backcourt,
yeah,
which is what they did before they lost them. And K-State with a tough start, 0-2, another game that Stokes didn't play. Dean Wade is still out. They were down 14-0 less than 6 minutes into the game. They made it a game, but...
Yeah, at least they competed.
They did.
They fought back. I'll give them credit there. Just really odd to see these three teams, 1-5, collectively,
yep,
in their conference play to start the season. So, I don't think it's dire at Kansas by any stretch, but I do think it's a much more of a challenge than it would have been. Kansas State, hard for me to figure at this particular point.
There's no real news on Silvio De Sousa at Kansas either, by the way. There just isn't so far, so... Don't hold your breath on that either.
Exactly. We'll get to the NFL. What a wild card weekend. Wild card weekend. In some cases, certainly. Tremendously entertaining football. We'll talk about it as we continue. 869-1240. You can join the show at your convenience. Back in a moment.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.